Hello, everybody, and welcome to this broadcast of Alchemy of Light. This is a celebration and exploration of consciousness, how we feel and think, because everything begins with a feeling. And today we have a very special guest. We have a true troubadour of the birthing of consciousness in our studio. I am so pleased to welcome Luis Minero. Hello, Luis.
Hi, how are you doing, Jamil? Thank you for having me.
A pleasure. I'm doing pretty good. Thank you. And I'm so glad you're with us. Luis Minero is a person who started this lifetime. I'll be so bold to suggest he started this lifetime very on purpose. In his 20s, he was very aware, self-aware of his interdimensional, intra-reality of who he was and was conscious of out-of-body experiences and paranormal phenomena, and found a teacher straight away in his 20s and studied with Dr. Waldo Vieira. And he also became an active student in the process of being... Pardon me, I got a little distracted. All right, pardon me. All right. Coming back. All right, so this is what's happening. Now I'm fully present. I would like to start that again. Pardon. All right. Luis Minero is with us. He has written a book called Demystifying the Out-of-Body Experience. And it is a book that is a practical manual for exploration and personal evolution. His process has been to develop his own personal awareness of out-of-body phenomena, has studied with Dr. Waldo Vieira, and in his gifts of many languages has been able to translate this in all over the world and sharing instructional, rational, demystifying language, the phenomena of the out-of-body experience. And he is very focused on the entirety of the experience, which is starting with the evolution of the human being itself and our conscious responsibility as a species growing this in ourselves. So what I would like to do now is please welcome you again, Luis, and I would like to pass the torch and introduce yourself a little bit and your experience.
Sure. You know, I am a volunteer and instructor here with the IAC, the International Academy of Consciousness, and like you were mentioning, we focus more than anything on doing research and even on helping people to develop the skill of the out-of-body experience. But we also focus on the topics of vital energies, consciousness development, near-death experiences, paranormal phenomena, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And one of our main tasks, besides the investigation, besides the research and the publishing of books and information, is the giving of classes and again, trying to help people to develop this skill. Because we see, all the benefits that come to individuals, as they start developing this. In my case, like you were mentioning, I started having out-of-body experiences more spontaneously in my early teens. And at the beginning, they really weren't that frequent. And it wasn't until I was about 18 or so that the first book on out-of-body experiences fell in my hands, let's put it that way. And then I realized that there was a name to it, that there were techniques, that other people did them, and more importantly, that this could be nurtured, that this was a capacity that could be, trained and developed. And of course, after that, I started to become more interested in the topic.
Well, I want to share with you that I also had the good fortune of meeting Dr. Waldo Vieira and with my mother in an event in Tennessee about 12 years ago, and he and my mother were very smitten very fast. And I think it's really special to encounter a teacher that has walked ahead of us. And with, I learned a bit about Dr. Waldo Vieira's story, which is something that I really feel special about you, is that those that have gone before us have carried a particular burden in bringing the very basic information of out-of-body phenomena, of the genuine human experience of wondering, of exploring, of knowing what these inner worlds are. And it's such an honor to be able to carry the torch and take it to the next level, which I really see you've done so fantastically with this book. Demystifying the Out-of-Body Experience is a phenomenal compilation of information that is not at all dogmatic. It is purely information that is accessible. This book, I think, could be and would be a very valuable addition, a textbook to third graders. The information is written so clearly and in such an open way. And I really found it very inspiring that you were able to communicate a language, giving us new words. And it seemed you specifically avoided a lot of the cliche words, because the new words stretches our consciousness. It makes us reassign meaning. It helps us do a deeper exploration of what that actually means, and can bypass the belief systems that are in place about whatever our preconceived ideas of what it might be. So I think this book is not only appropriate for third graders, for that age when you start to question things like, well, what happens when people die? And, well, you know, even kids who have very strong visions and out-of-body experiences already, this information at that age is essential for having a personal understanding of what's going on inside of me, you know, and help to circumvent the fears. If they don't ever grow, the fears don't grow, then wow.
Yes. You know, in our activities, now that you mentioned third graders, in our activities, I've had, you know, parents who bring their kids, and I've had kids from more or less from between 8 or 7 to about 13 and 14, and obviously older. And those, they usually grasp very well, you know, especially the concepts of vital energies and everything. And with the book, as you're mentioning, indeed, you know, a very big intention of the book was to try to compile and to put in a very accessible and down-to-earth, you know, language all the world of out-of-body experiences and the world of research on out-of-body experiences and of previous, you know, writers. Certainly, Dr. Vieira, a good friend, colleague of mine, you know, did a lot of that work. But there has already been so much information written, and for so many years and centuries, really, I should even stretch it that far. You know, this information has been around, but has belonged to more like exclusive groups or just a very small group of individuals. And one of our objectives, of course, is to try to bring this to light and to make it accessible to everybody, because we see, again, you know, that everybody can benefit with this skill and with this information.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the book does acknowledge that the information has been ensconced and hidden, but it's not about that. It's just really focused on being yourself and learning about yourself and taking responsibility for that world inside of you. And the out-of-body experience is a very accessible tool for doing just that. And will you please go through some of the challenges that some people will just a little bit walk through the idea of the book? In the beginning, you're talking about how some people are timid of it or feel hesitant about it. And please share with us your experience of some of the hesitations that people have in taking on the out-of-body experience simply as a spiritual tool. And perhaps you can share with us how spirituality is redefined in this very rational discourse and the line there from religion and how it just takes on its own autonomy in a personal study such as this.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you know, with regards to how people react to the out-of-body experience, the reactions can vary quite a bit. You know, some people are afraid of it. Some people, maybe even more orthodox individuals, they might think that we are talking about something that has more to do with the devil or things like that, you know, which of course is not the case. The out-of-body experience is a phenomena, it's a skill, and it's something that happens to many people, actually, and many times spontaneously. And even what I notice when I speak to people about this, you know, in lectures, in different bookstores and everything, is that sometimes at the beginning they don't quite get what it is, but as you start explaining to them what it is, they realize that they have probably already had out-of-body experiences before. And sometimes what was missing was, you know, the understanding of what is a dream and what is an out-of-body experience. Because sometimes, you know, people just classify it as a very different type of dream or a very vivid type of dream. And certainly there are very vivid dreams, but there are also out-of-body experiences. So the reactions can vary quite a bit. I would say, you know, being a little bit hesitant towards them is one of the most common ones, and to a certain extent, this is understandable. You know, we are always a little bit cautious with things that are new or that we don't know. And a big also intention in the book is precisely to try to elucidate or to give more information on this phenomena, so that the level of, you know, unknowingness or of fear or of, you know, hesitation diminishes, and then people can relax and they can take advantage of the phenomena. And something, you know, the second part of what you were asking me there is, you know, something that happens is that the moment that you start having out-of-body experiences, you start to put direct personal experience, and you start to connect that direct personal experience that you're having now with all the other information that we have read and that we know about. Because especially nowadays, people, you know, who are looking for something, they usually have read a lot of different books, a lot of different lines of knowledge, a lot of different philosophies. Sometimes they have studied already several religions and things. And, you know, now, even though they might have, I don't know, 5 theories of how things work, or maybe 25 or maybe 10,000 in the case of some people that I see that have read a lot, what is interesting is that the moment that you have out-of-body experiences and you very directly are able to experience the spiritual planes, which in and of itself is already a spiritually enhancing experience, you realize that sometimes, or better yet, you are able now, with the direct experience, you know, to ratify certain things that maybe you have read, or even to modify, to renew, to sophisticate more, you know, some of the ideas that you have read. Sometimes, you know, in English there is this expression, a picture is worth 1,000 words, and I think that in the book I was even mentioning this, that an experience is made out of 1,000 scenes, out of 1,000 pictures, and each one of them is worth 1,000 words. So we value the experience quite a bit. The moment that the person has an experience, the understanding of all these concepts of humanity or of awareness or of consciousness become, you know, or come from a very abstract realm into a very palpable, graspable, you know, down-to-earth type of an understanding. And this helps the person to become a better person. What we like to call sometimes inner growth or inner development or personal evolution or spiritual development, et cetera, So certainly with the out-of-body experiences, we can grow a lot. We can understand how big the universe is, or it's a tool that helps us to understand more of the universe, I should say. Certainly the perspective is not total or global, but it starts to get there. It helps us to see that we are, how unique we are, and also how huge the universe is. Mm. So it kind of helps us to put things into the proper perspective.
Mm. Yay! And the out-of-body experience is not specific to gender or nationality or anything. A human being is all you need to be, right?
Yes, that's right. You know, anybody can do it. Anybody with any educational level or from any, or, you know, again, men or women or different nationalities or different religions. This really goes beyond that. Sometimes we say that it's like the ability to read. That, you know, learning how to read is something that basically anybody can do and can enhance the life of anybody, no matter from which background they are coming from.
Mm. I really appreciate that. And the book does a fantastic job of offering methodologies of preparation, of different ways that one can prepare themselves and make themselves comfortable and welcome the experience. And something else that I really find fascinating is that the automatic inclusion of what in your book are called the extra physical helpers, and the ability once one leaves the body to more fully recognize and acknowledge the extra physical beings or consciousnesses that are in our immediate access, that are around us. Can you share a bit about that and your experience of that?
Yes, indeed. You know, certainly this is something that has been described many times, you know, in the literature, and people and in different cultures and religions have always talked about this, you know, more developed beings, more evolved beings that are benign, that want to help us, that want to guide us to a certain extent. And when we have our body experiences, one of the biggest benefits is precisely that we can counter these individuals. And we have given them, of course, us as human beings in different societies, we have given them, you know, a lot of different names. So we call them of, you know, spirit guides, angels, masters, beings of light, illuminated beings. I really don't know how many names we have come up, to represent them. And we can certainly be outside the body. We can be in these, you know, non-physical planes where they are. And we can have the opportunity to be close to them and to consult things with them and to communicate with them and to learn from them at the same time. And this is one of the biggest benefits, I would say, of the out-of-body experience. Generally speaking, they are all for, you know, development, evolution, and also for assistance, for helping others. So generally speaking, if we are more interested, you know, in development and in evolution and in helping others, then normally we come closer to them. It is easier to access them, or it is easier to find them, because sometimes we find ourselves working, you know, in things or in projects that are helpful for most people, and them and us, we are involved in that. So that certainly in and of itself is already worth it, I would say, beyond all the other benefits of the out-of-body experiences.
That really so speaks to my heart as well. In the back, in the toward the end of the book, Dr. Vera is sharing of his experience, his out-of-body experience, and in brief, he has an out-of-body experience where he is in the streets of Rio de Janeiro walking with one of his extra-physical helpers and being shown. Do you want to share about that? That was so moving to me, that experience.
Yes. I specifically, you know, the part that really calls my attention more to it, and really I picked that experience to put it in my book because sort of like in a very simple fashion summarized a lot of things that to a certain extent we know, you know, in the theory we know, but it's interesting to see it in the practice, where the extra physical helper, you know, was telling him, you know, any effort that we put towards assistance, towards helping others, you know, it's already worth it. And usually the best assistance, you know, doesn't require, you know, a thank you in return. It's selfless. It's not tax deductible. Mm-hmm. You know, it has nothing to do with anybody gaining more status or even considering that. But it's just this internal feeling of wanting to be of service and of wanting to help somebody else. And this, of course, we all have it. Many times I say, you know, most people, even probably most people that are listening to us right now, I'm sure that we have had moments in which, you know, an opportunity presents itself. We go and we help somebody. And this really seems to come from the kindness of our own heart, because maybe the person is not going to know. We're never going to receive a thing, you know. We, you know, are not going to gain anything. But there is this sensation that is born inside of us and, you know, prompts us to do that assistance. And what I many times say is, I wish I could hold on to that sensation and keep it 24 hours a day, but this is not my condition yet. I try to replicate it as much as I can, but, you know, it's not my condition yet, and probably we all realize that we have been in situations like that, but also it's not our average. So a good portion of development is precisely trying to, you know, make that feeling of helping others be more common within our manifestation. And certainly the extra physical helpers, they exemplify that very well. And this is part of what they were trying to convey, you know, to Dr. Vieira in that out-of-body experience. And I thought that experience, you know, summarized and presented that that message so well that that's one of the reasons why it's there.
Well, thank you so much for including it for all of those reasons. And another thing that it left me with was this picture that's been coming more and more strong in my experience, which is that the universe really loves us, that it so wants us to win, and that everything is being provided for us, our extra physical helpers, and the part in there where they were sharing that the hardest part is when help is rejected. You know, and I found such comfort in that reminder again that the universe is on our side, you know?
Yes. Yes, that seems to be the case. It seems to be a very organized structure of growth, of development. And sometimes what occurs, of course, you know, I don't want to downplay the fact that we have a lot of difficulties, and a lot of people have, you know, a lot of different pains and, you know, again, difficulties in their life. But when you take a step back or a few steps back and are able to sort of like look at the vastness and the greatness of the universe, sometimes many of these things seem to be sort of like the inconveniences or the challenges that we had when we were a little boy or a little girl going to school, where, you know, of course, you know, doing homework was uncomfortable, or sitting in a classroom for several hours, you know, in one day was not, you know, our preference. But all of these things, you know, keep on, or help us to keep on moving ahead and keep on moving forward, and to their certain challenges and, you know, things that we go on understanding, you know, every time better. So in our case, of course, you know, respect for ecology, the respect of other people's rights, a lot of different things, you know, that that this world, even though it's not easy, but this world, you know, presents us these opportunities for us to, you know, better our manifestations, improve them.
Absolutely. And please share with us in the exploration of the out-of-body experience the benefits that it provides for our ethical development in specific. And please go into some of the ways that it helps us see bigger pictures of ourselves and the interlife connections.
Yeah. You know, a little bit again, like reading, but in a very different degree. The moment that we start to access more information and to understand bigger things, of course, we are forced to a certain extent to renew our own parameters. So let's say if we only know our culture and we start to read, you know, about cultures in Asia or in Europe, we naturally start to compare what we are reading with our culture, and this helps us first to understand our culture better, and two, you know, to have a more global perspective of things, to realize that human beings go beyond just simply what we are used to. And then in the same fashion, the moment that we have out-of-body experiences and we see, you know, that the universe is a lot bigger, that we, for example, we have the physical body, we are manifesting with the physical body at this moment, and this physical body has needs and, you know, is embedded in this physical life. Besides that, we are a cosmic consciousness beyond time, space, gender, you know, everything, and we have other bodies with which we can manifest. And we realize as we have out-of-body experiences that not only do we have these other bodies, but also us as an individual, as a soul, we are having right now a physical life that we could consider is like one unit of development or of one unit of time that is going to help us to acquire experiences so as to become better. And just like we have had this one unit and we're having this life, we have had many, many others. And then as we realize that in the practice and not so much in the theory, because I know, you know, I'm seeing this, and I know many of the listeners probably that are listening to this program, they we probably all agree with this. But what happens is that when we, you know, are there in the practice realizing that we have different bodies, that we go beyond the physical reality, and that we have had physical lives, a lot of other things start taking a very different perspective. Like, for example, sometimes we find individuals that are very, that are born, like most of us, we are born in a specific country, and we believe that that country is the best because there is this big, how could I say, machine that, you know, conditions us to think that the place where we were born in this world is the best. And I'm here just trying to say it as generic as possible because this happens with all countries. Basically, most people think that the country and the place where they were born is the best place in the world. But what happens is the moment that we leave the body, we realize we were already born in so many different places that to think that the one that we were born in this specific life is the best is just simply showing a little bit our conditioning to this physical life. And the moment that we have out-of-body experiences, we can expand or we can go beyond this limitation and to realize that, you know, we are not Argentinians or Germans necessarily, or it's not Thailand that has the best beaches or Hawaii or Australia, but that we can really enjoy the entire planet, and we are, even beyond just simply this planet, more a citizen of the world, of the universe. And we don't need to have these small, how could I say, limitations or differences. So really things start to take a very different perspective the moment that you have out-of-body experiences. Just from the physical perspective, just from the physical body, just using the physical brain, we have a certain point of view. But having the out-of-body experiences enlarges that, and we start to drop many of these barriers, many of these physical barriers, so to speak. And this helps us to develop towards inner growth. This is actually one of the things that helps people to feel more connected to everything else. Because just, again, from the physical perspective, sometimes it's very difficult for us to feel connected to, you know, the problems that are happening right now, let's say in Mongolia, or to the problems that are happening right now in, you know, Kenya. You know, if somebody reads a little bit more about it, they know about it, or in South Sudan. But the moment that you have our out-of-body experiences and you realize that we are much more connected to everything, and that these little geographical limitations or other types of, you know, groupisms, how we classify people here inside the body, really don't exist. Or it's not that they don't exist. It's just that they only exist at the physical level, and we are much more than this. Then, you know, it becomes easier for us to do away with this with these limitations, with these barriers, and to become a much more complete individual. And through the out-of-body experiences, we get this. We get this, and I know that even people that are listening to this show right now, they understand what I'm explaining. It's just that as we keep on having the out-of-body experiences more and more, we start to become more this. Because what it seems is that our problem, or not our problem, but our challenge usually is not intellectual. It's not just understanding things. Usually we can understand things very quickly. The problem is becoming this, manifesting ourselves, you know, in agreement with what we understand. Many times we know a lot of things, but it just takes a little bit more time to learn to apply them and to become this. And then the out-of-body experiences and this entire knowledge or body of knowledge certainly helps us to do that, to start to become more that.
Hmm.
I don't know if that makes any sense.
It makes an awful lot of sense, and it engages the experiential level, which is not something you can erase from your reality, you know. The near-death experiencers are a great example, and you make reference to them in the book as well. You know, the near-death experience itself is so, well, it's traumatic, and it's also so profound in a relatively short period of time, but it's an experiential experience of our universal connection and all the variations that change you. When it's experiential, I think it actually alters your DNA, RNA. I mean, I think it completely shifts your molecular reality. You can't just wash that off. You know, you have to live with it.
Yeah. You have to incorporate that experience into what you are. And of course, it gives you such a different perspective that you change quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. And we want to change the world, so we can't change ourselves. And I personally think that changing ourselves is the only way we're going to change the world, which is why we always keep coming back to that.
Yeah. You know, there are several or a couple of interesting things. You know, first of all, when we think about the word evolution, which is part of, you know, the subtitle there of the book, evolution, by definition, implies change, and change for the better. And again, at the very intellectual level, we know this and we understand this, but in the very practical level, sometimes, you know, it would be more comfortable if we think the world should change so that it makes things better for me. But in the practice, sometimes it takes a lot of effort for us to try to change and to try to see how else we can contribute. And this is precisely one of the things that, you know, in the out-of-body experience becomes much more clear. It reinforcing, you know, or emphasizing what you were saying, that we need to start to change. You know, we need to be the change. This is what I meant by, you know, becoming more this. Because in the theory, again, we all understand it, but in the practice, sometimes it's a challenge, and this is why, you know, we have time to learn this. But the skill, the perspective, these experiences can help us to put this in the proper perspective and for us to start to apply more efforts into this change.
Mm. Absolutely. Please share with us a little bit about some of the fundamental properties. And you start in the book by sharing with us how we do go out of body every night and how that very simply can translate to a very intentional consciousness departure, the out-of-body experience. Share with us a little bit about the mechanics of just how natural the out-of-body experience is.
Right. And you know, that is an interesting piece of information, I guess. You know, it many authors and many people who left their accounts and had out-of-body experiences from previous decades and previous centuries and different schools of thought and different cultures, they describe that. They would say, you know, I left my body and I see whomever is sleeping close by to me, you know, maybe a relative or, you know, the daughter, the somebody who was sleeping close by, and I see them that they are floating above their body, disconnected from their physical body while they are sleeping, but they are in this condition, maybe separated by 2, 4, 6 inches from their physical body, and they are unaware, unconscious, without realizing that they are floating above their body, almost as if we are sleeping outside our body, so to speak. And this is an observation, you know, that, again, people from different cultures in different parts of the world have already had for centuries and centuries. But if we come now to contemporary times, we realize that, you know, people now in the 21st century see exactly the same thing. If I leave my body and I see somebody sleeping close by, you know, again, a relative, my partner, etc., then I find them in this condition. And, you know, students who take the classes confirm this, and even people in other countries and cities, when they have OBEs, they also realize this. So we realize that everybody disconnects while they are sleeping, while their physical body is sleeping. So we disconnect basically 8 hours of the day, you know, the entire time that we are sleeping as an average, right? And what is interesting, you know, when we realize this, is first of all, we realize that spending time outside the body is pretty natural, let's put it this way. The process of disconnecting from the body must not be that hard, since it happens involuntarily, spontaneously every night, more or less along the same lines as breathing, that we don't need to put our conscious will, you know, on the act of breathing in order for it to work, but it's already, you know, occurring, happening. Also, we realize that coming back in the body must not be that hard, since every morning we, you know, our so-called astral body or psychosoma or emotional body or us, we come into our physical body and we inhabit this biological body that we have, and we go about our day. So coming back to the body must not be that hard. And also spending time outside the body must not be dangerous, because if we have spent, or if we spent an average of 8 hours of our day outside the body, this is a third of the day, this is a third of the week, a third of the year, a third of the life. So to put round numbers, if somebody is 45, they have slept 15 years, and they have spent 15 years floating above their body. And of course, this is where, you know, the idea of trying to take advantage of that time, you know, comes into play. So that instead of simply just floating above our physical body, we are able to, you know, regain more the awareness, go out and, you know, have experiences and learn while our physical body is resting, you know, in the middle of the night. So one of the main reasons why, you know, the recovering of the awareness doesn't happen more to more people, more spontaneously, and while we just simply disconnect from the physical body and we just simply stay 2 or 4 or 6 inches, you know, separated from it, has really a lot to do. It's no fault of most of individuals. It just really has to do with conditioning, with habit. We are used to thinking that we are the physical body, and if the physical body sleeps, then I should sleep. But the moment even we start to have a few spontaneous experiences, we realize that these are two very different things. One thing is the physical body that is a tool, is my biological tool that helps me to experience this physical life, and I want to take care of it as best as I can, certainly. But another thing is me, the soul, the spirit, the consciousness. And then if the physical tool is sleeping and resting, I don't necessarily need to shut down with the physical body. But of course, again, the idea is clear, but another thing is starting to become more that and to work towards trying to recover the awareness and not to be so conditioned by the physical body. So yes, everybody leaves the body, or everybody disconnects from the body every night. A big part of the learning of the skill is learning to recover the awareness. And that, of course, leads us into many different techniques and many different ways that I describe in the book. And if I don't know how much time I have, I could describe a couple of them here. But that, of course, that require a little bit of time, a little bit of training, not really a whole lot, but certainly a little bit of effort, like any capacity. so that we can start, you know, developing with a little bit more of reliability that disconnection and the out of body experience as a whole.
Thank you. And will you? We've got about 20 minutes left.
So, okay.
Yeah, will you please share with us a bit about where people can reach you for more information, the websites, and perhaps now is a good opportunity to share a little bit about the classes and the availabilities, how people might pursue really signing up for a study of this.
Sure. You know, maybe one of the easiest resources is the website of the book, which is learnoves.com. So learnoves.com all together. And we give classes all over the world. So, you know, London, Australia, New York. I just happen to be here on the West Coast, but then we travel quite a bit. We're a collection of you know, researchers and individuals who have developed this and who volunteer their time, you know, to try to help other people to develop also this skill. So in the entire world, we must be about maybe 300 to 500, you know, individuals who do this. And also, you know, since I'm mentioning this, you know, a big part of the book, of course, or a big part of what the book is presenting is, you know, the consensus of all of this information that for already a few decades we have been able to compile and to pass on. Certainly a big part of this, as you were mentioning at the beginning, is our good friend Dr. Vieira, Dr. Valdo Vieira. And just like him, you know, there are many, many other researchers around the world that also contribute there with their information and with their knowledge. But certainly the best way to reach us would be learnoves.com, because that way the person can see, you know, which city is closer to them, which would be the phone number. They can send an email to one of the IEC centers and they can, you know, receive the schedule of activities and all the information.
And get a discount on the book from that website, too.
That's right. Very, very well remembered, yes, for people who purchase the book, they can go to the website and they can request a coupon for discount on the classes. Yeah.
Yes, I really appreciate that. And this is a really good time perhaps to share a bit about the shift in the paradigm shift, which is something else that is a tremendous value in all of our consciousness to explore. We are in a period of our science, the modern science body, that has been based in material reality, and that simply it's like a pair of pants that just isn't fitting us anymore. You know, it's falling apart at the seams, and it's much too short, and it's not fitting. So we have a new paradigm coming in, and the new paradigm that you presented in this book, based on consciousness, is, I think, the only way we can go for really fully developing as a species. Will you please share with us a bit about that, the shift in the basic paradigm of our scientific understanding?
Yes. You know, as you were mentioning, conventional science is fairly materialistic, and more than materialistic, I would say, is instrumentalistic. In the sense that, you know, it relies a lot on the tools and on the instruments that can measure reality, and that's understandable, you know, because it helps, you know, to make measurements more objective and less subjective. So it's understandable. What happens again is that also that leads to the tendency, and you see many sometimes conventional scientists thinking that way, that whatever my instrument can measure exists, and whatever my instrument cannot measure doesn't exist, which, of course, is a little bit of a trap, because if an instrument cannot measure something, it doesn't mean that reality doesn't exist. It only means my instrument cannot measure it, and maybe in 5 years or in 20 years, I'm going to have an instrument that is more sensitive that will be able to measure that. but it doesn't mean that that reality didn't exist. So that, you know, conventional science, even, you know, as they keep on going, they themselves start to realize, look, we're hitting a wall to a certain extent, and we need to reformulate sometimes, you know, how we do research. So conventional science, because it is very materialistic and instrumentalistic, basically considers, you know, as the basics of the universe, let's put it this way, energy and matter, which are pretty much the same thing, you know, just two different presentations of basically the same thing. But then with the out-of-body experiences and with, you know, different other observations, we realize that we are not a product of energy and matter only. Probably many of the listeners, we have heard how sometimes conventional science is trying to describe consciousness as a byproduct of the chemical interactions of the brain. So again, you know, energy and matter. But what we see with the out-of-body experiences is that we go beyond energy and matter, and then there is this, you know, essence that we are, that for the longest, you know, the most common names have been soul or spirit. We just simply prefer the term consciousness. And then there is consciousness plus energy plus matter. And the consciousness basically uses energy and matter for its manifestation. So we, you know, change matter to make our life more comfortable. We use our physical body, you know, to have experiences. And the moment that we realize that, we can obviously start to see the world from a very different perspective. And this is where the out-of-body experiences come. You know, we can have out-of-body experiences, and we can learn things, and we can experience things that our brain at that moment just doesn't know, and that cannot be measured physically. Something that is very common, for example, that I see with individuals who take classes is that sometimes they have an out-of-body experience, and while they are outside their body, they're able to remember an out-of-body experience that they had maybe when they were 12. But at the time that they had that out-of-body experience when they were 12, the memory of that OBE didn't arrive at their brain. So it was never in their brain, and even under hypnosis, they would have not remembered it. But now that they are, let's say, 40, they have this new out-of-body experience, and the information never arrived at the brain of the prior one. So they didn't know about it, but that information doesn't mean that it was lost. It was just simply at the level of the consciousness or in a different body of manifestation of them, the so-called astral body or psychosoma. So now that they have this new out-of-body experience when they are 40, they're able to re-encounter the memory of the experience that they had when they were 12, and now they can come back with the recollection of both experiences, the one they're having right now and the one that they were having when they were 12. Now, and which shows, obviously, that information, memories, learning, experiences, you know, can happen outside just simply matter and energy and outside the brain, so to speak. So the phenomena, the skill, and psychic abilities in general, you know, show us that there is more to the world than just simply matter and energy.
Thank you. Thank you. Very well put. And I also appreciated in your book you were bringing in the consensus. So you developed a whole new model of consensus and the integration of subjectivity, which is another thing that the existing or the model we're outgrowing has been adamant in denying subjectivity, which is a good thing to renew. You use the term renewal, you know, information renewal. We're renewing this understanding of what our limitations can be. We don't have to now limit ourselves to an objective or the pursuit of an objective reality because we have exhausted that. Now we know, you know, to the degree we can know about that. And subjectivity is inherent in the whole life process, just as
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, yes. No, no, you're exactly correct. You know, little by little we start to realize even that those measurements with those instruments are not as objective as we thought they were, but that they require a consciousness, a human being to make sense of them, to interpret them. And lately, you know, since last century, many people, many writers have started to write about this and, you know, to basically even question whether there is actually any true, objective, absolute measurements, if that is even possible. You know, there is this old phrase of, you know, if a tree falls in the forest, you know, does it make a sound if there isn't anybody there to hear it, right? Mm. And then there was, now I don't remember the name, but there was this writer who was saying, you know, if a yardstick falls in the forest, is it measuring anything? Because really you need a consciousness, you need a being, you need a human being, you know, to make sense of, you know, what is it that is being measured, and if that is even a tool that is measuring anything. So, you know, that certainly is something that every time more, you know, we see how it's an idea that is starting to filter into the consciousness of even many, many scientists. Of course, when we talk about conventional science, certainly there is a group of scientists that are a little bit more, how could I say, still using the old paradigm and clinging to it. But there are at the same time many, many other scientists that they already, you know, are able to see newer ideas and to understand it from different perspectives and looking, you know, for different avenues to understand the world and the universe. So yes, little by little we start to realize we don't necessarily need to be afraid of the subjective measurements and of trying to arrive at consensus, you know, by sharing experiences and trying to see, okay, this is what is happening. And one of the things that I mentioned in the book is, you know, obviously the fact that we have out-of-body experiences and they are really out of the body, and some of them are of this world, and some are very, very different compared to the physical reality. So even though we can have those types of experiences, doesn't mean that we need to lose our discernment, our organization, our rationality, our logics. It doesn't have to be. So certainly we can arrive at different ways of studying things that are not physical, because this is, of course, another thing. Physical instruments can only measure physical things. The moment that you leave the body and you are in very different planes of existence or different dimensions, we cannot have a physical instrument measuring those, or at least not yet. I don't know if maybe in one century we'll have that, but it doesn't seem like it. So then it has to be, you know, a research or a study that is based on observation. Now, what is interesting is that there are many sciences that work this way already. For example, if you think about anthropology or linguistics, you know, if you go and study a tribe in one of the islands of the Pacific and you want to learn their language, you go there, you observe, you take notes. Another researcher can go there, take notes, observe their culture, their traditions, etc. You come back and you arrive at a consensus. And, you know, it's not really anything that an instrument measured, but it was an actual being, an actual scientist, an actual anthropologist that went there and took notes in a very subjective fashion. So there's nothing wrong with that. That is perfectly acceptable, and basically the same thing, you know, can be done, or we are doing, of course, with out-of-body experiences. And also in the book and in our information, we invite, you know, people to also have experiences, to also contribute with the information, because, of course, the more observations there are, the greater the consensus, and the more solid, you know, the conclusion is going to be. So it's not something like only two, three individuals see it and that's it. But no, the more observations, the better. The more experiences, the better, for sure.
Thank you. And, you know, subjectivity is actually the juice. That's the propulsion of the study. The more we can learn to fully embrace our own unique experience, that's what subjectivity actually is, right? It's our own unique experience. Yeah. That's the juice of the study of anything. How is that unique way that we can bring light to whatever it is we're looking at, you know? It's fascinating.
Yes, indeed. Not to be discounted, but to be embraced.
Absolutely. So we are coming close now to our time. And so this has been a really inspiring dialogue with Luis Minero, the author of the book Demystifying the Out-of-Body Experience, A Practical Manual for Exploration and Personal Evolution. And you can learn more about his book and the work of learning the out-of-body experience at learnobes.com. That's learnobes.com. You can go to that website and learn more about that. This is a two-hour broadcast. We will be taking a short break and then resuming the broadcast after some lovely music with David Lawn. So, Luis, I would like to offer you the last few minutes to please offer some closing thoughts or anything, share any events that are coming up, things that you'd like us to be aware of and some way that we might be able to support you in your work. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Really, in terms of events, I know that we have even introductory lectures or free lectures that happen all over the world, even online, that people can also attend. So if anybody is interested, for sure, they can, you know, go to LearnOBEs. They can go to the schedule afterwards of the IAC and of online activities. And or if you are in the cities, so if you live in the cities where classes are given, certainly you're more than welcome to come. So this is happening regularly. Basically every month we have them almost everywhere in the world, so to speak. And then the other thing is, you know, something that I even mentioned on the preface, on the introduction of the book is, you know, really don't believe in anything. Experience. Have your own experiences. Don't be afraid to experience, because many things sometimes we, in this day and age, we get so much information again. And all of it has its worth, but one thing is just simple information. Another thing is the experience where we can go and verify, ratify, and even prove for us that this reality is so. So by all means, you know, don't believe in anything from the book, on myself, or on anything that anybody's saying, but experience and see what your experience, where it leads you. Again, the subjective experience. And thank you so much, Jamil.
A pleasure, Luis. And so we will return after the break in the live broadcast. And thank you again, Luis. Take good care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Hello, good people, and welcome back to the second hour of the Alchemy of Light broadcast. I am Jamil Graham, your host. Thank you so much for joining us. And in this second hour, we have called the doctor. Dr. Joseph Mara is joining us for the second hour, and we are going to explore self-help in these times of transition and what he uses the word ascension symptoms, the intensity of this time, and how can we better take care of ourselves. So welcome, Joseph.
Hey, thank you for having me back.
It's such a pleasure to have you back, and we need the doctor, you know, we need some help here. How are we going to deal with this, man? It's so intense.
Well, I'll tell you what, the doctor needs a doctor right now because it's really intense. I'm dealing with it myself, and you know, I put those videos out, and the last 2 days specifically, I was out of balance, and these energies that are coming in are so high that I had to listen to my own advice and be like, all right, now I know I need to be meditating daily. I know I need to be eating correctly and all these things. And I've been trying just like everybody else. And, you know, I'm in human form right now, even though I have a knowing about things and I try to practice what I preach. And in most cases, I do pretty good, but I am in human form. So I have temptations and sometimes I fall back just like everybody else. So, but the last few days, I'm telling you, these energies have been so intense that I got out of balance and it kind of caught me off guard because I've been in such a good way for so long. And all of a sudden the spring equinox came in and it really knocked me for a loop, so to speak. But, you know, my ego mind is telling me, oh yeah, you should meditate, but you know, you could probably do it some other time. But my physical body's telling me, listen, you need to go meditate right now. You're fatigued, you're tired, you need to go within and re-energize. And basically that's what I did. And of course, when I'm done, I feel like a million bucks. So that's first and foremost. You have to meditate during these times. You got to connect, you got to balance. And, you know, I don't think anybody's immune to these energies that are coming in, no matter how far along you are, like how far down the path you are. And I'm living proof of it. I don't think I'm better than anybody else, but, you know, here I am in human form and I'm trying to make these suggestions to everybody. Well, I'm in the same boat. So I've been experiencing the same thing. So
bless your heart. Well, back up just a little bit. You mentioned these videos. Please start us off telling us where we can find these videos that you're producing, and go ahead and just tell us your website and the videos that you're making that you've been consulting yourself. Where are these for the listeners?
Well, I have a YouTube page, Universal Talking, or you could just YouTube my name, Joseph Mara or Dr. Mara, and you should be able to Google it or find it on YouTube. And I have a website, A Guiding Light, which is spelled LITE.com. And the videos that I've been putting out recently, I decided just recently, I was kind of divinely guided to put out just a free video of just my thoughts of helping those people that are interested in what many of us call ascension symptoms. And, you know, it can range from fatigue, tiredness, whether you've had a full 8 hours of sleep or not. Sometimes, you know, you're working harder on the other side whenever you go to sleep at night and you wake up. Instead of refreshed, you feel even more tired than before you went to sleep. So it's important to know that these are all normal things that a lot of us, in fact, probably everybody's going through. But the people that have a harder time getting through it are the people that are more resistant. So anytime there's a resistance, your pain bodies act up a little more, I would say. So the videos I just started putting out, you could find them on YouTube, and every once in a while, like maybe once a week or maybe a couple times a week, depending when I'm spiritually guided to do so, I just decided to do that.
Well, explain a little bit what this it is, that, you know, these high energies or this intensification of energies. How can we understand that when it's happening in our life? Are there different sources of it? You know, because it seems that there's a universal quality of it, and then there's the ways it's playing out in our microcosm, the little, you know, our 3x5 realities. And how can we, do you have any tips for how can we understand the universal impact and somehow negotiate the microcosm at the same time with that knowledge? You know, like, how do we... Mm-hmm. No. Do you understand what I'm asking?
Yeah. Well, as you're saying, as above, so below. So right now, our whole solar system, we're going through a photonic belt, or what some scientists are calling it. And when we go into this belt, which, because everything in the universe happens in cycles, and every 12,000 years, we go through this particular phase or this energetic stream. Some of us, some of the scientists out there call it like the photon belt. But anyway, as we go through it, the energies are higher there. And by virtue of them being higher, we're taking in these energies, not just physically, the planet's taking them on, the whole solar system. And, we feel it. If we're, especially if we're in tune to our body, and a lot of us are. So what's important to know, though, is, it's not just our own personal field that we're picking up on. The higher that we get into these energetics, the more tuned into our surroundings we really are. So you may be picking up on your neighbor's energies, or the Earth's energies, or the collective as a whole. So it's important to realize that there's more going on out there, because quite frankly, myself, I'm like, well, wow, what's really going on here? Why do I feel so low right now when I've been doing the work? I've been trying to eat right and drink lots of water and meditate. Well, sometimes it's not just you and your own physicalness. I really believe that some of us have incarnated to help other people out. And say, for instance, somebody's not as far down the path as you, and they got some residual energies, the lower vibration that they need to transmute and transcend. Well, some of us come together and take on some of that baggage to help transmute and transcend, so as a collective, we can all benefit from this. So I think it's important for us to realize that we are all connected energetically, and when we're talking about the ascension process, I think that humanity and everything that's in our solar system, the universe, we're all trying to reach our highest potential. And as we go through these high energetics every 12,000 years or so, give or take, we have things kind of speed up. It's like here we are in almost the end of March, and since December 21st, it seems like that was only maybe a month ago, and here we are almost into April. So that time field that we're in right now is also affected. So, I mean, there's a lot of variables that go into this, but hopefully that answered your question.
Well, I think you did a good job in that, you know. One thing that it seems apparent to me is change. Whatever the energies are doing and whatever capacity they're affecting us on an individual level, it equates to change. So if we're entering into a photon belt, that means that the entire energy of our existing solar system is rapidly changing. Rapid by terms of universe, you know. But the word change seems to be the key word here, that everything in our world is changing. And we can see that, you know, on very basic levels. So it seems to me on that point, that was, you know, I think that in a way we're all going to have to just kind of accept the not knowing of this transition.
Yeah, definitely. Because, you know, the one thing that's constant in the universe is change. But mm-hmm. when you're resistant to it, that's when it becomes difficult. If you go mm-hmm. with the flow, if you're like a boat on a river and you just kind of go with the flow, it's a lot more, you can navigate a lot easier if you do it that way than trying to go upstream against the flow, so to speak. Right. So transition is what we're in right now, and a major transition. And again, these things, you know, come in cycles, but for right now, during this particular time in the present moment of now, collectively, humanity's going through it, but it's not just us. It's the planet. It's all our planets and the solar system. It's our galaxy and the universe. As we're all going through this energetic field, as I said, you can expect major changes to happen. And I think we're going in more of a positive change right now than where we've been. And sometimes whenever there's a change, to go from the old or what may be considered the old ways or a lower way of doing things, things get a little rough. The road gets a little bumpy as you traverse this section. But as you break through to the new, it's almost coming through a tunnel. You can see the light at the end, and it might be a little dark at first. But as you break into the new, that's when things open up and things start to get exciting, and you get into a more of a positive field, and things start to happen in much more of an easier flow. But in this transition, now is the time to be less resistant and kind of look at it. When things get brought up into your face, you need to look at them and say, okay, now what is this? Is this mine, first of all? If it is this a residual? Have I dealt with this before? Oh, okay, I have dealt with this before. And I'm not going to let it bring it me down like it did the last time. I'm going to surrender, release, and send this situation, this person, whatever is in your field, unconditional love and see it in compassion. And that's the lesson right now, is the sooner we can do that, the sooner we can surrender, release, and lift that out of our field so we can become more positive. And as we release these lower vibratory frequencies within our field, we allow a higher energetics or more photon light to come into our field, which makes us feel lighter and more energetic.
Well, that's kind of neat, the way you connected that, to allow the photonic energy, the photonic light into ourselves by releasing the density or the lower energies. Can you explain a little bit about what unconditional love is? In your experience, you know, how do you know when you're on the unconditional love button? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, me personally, unconditional love to me means that you see everybody, everything, and yourself in the observer's mode. Unconditional love means that there's no judgment. So if there's a person out there that just commits a crime that you see that you don't agree with, you don't have to associate yourself with that person. You don't do that crime yourself or that act, but you see that person in compassion because you don't know what has actually caused that person to create that crime. You don't know if they were taught that, if they don't know any better because their family is that way, or if something bad just happened to them where they just couldn't transmute that negativity and it made them go in that direction, so to speak.
Yeah.
So seeing them in unconditional love and sending that person light and love instead of judgment, that's unconditional love. The same with yourself. If you don't like a certain part of your physical body and you're constantly reviewing that and saying, oh, God, I wish I could get rid of this whatever part of my body, then you're going to draw more of that to yourself because you're so focused on it. And the way the universe works, it has no feelings. So whatever you focus your attention towards is what you attract to yourself, and you know, sometimes it can be to your detriment. So you need to love yourself unconditionally, and during these times, this is another thing, be gentle with yourself. As these things come up and say, oh gosh, I can't believe I did that back then. These are just cellular memories, whether it be this time or last lifetime, that you need to focus on and say, okay, I'm sending it unconditional love. I'm not there anymore. I would never do that act again at this particular time in my life. I just have to send it love and not judge myself. That's just where I was. It was a learning lesson, and without that opposition, without that lesson, I wouldn't be the person I am today.
So the key part there is to develop in yourself a relationship with the observer within, some way to detach from the emotional body enough to be objective in your experience of it. Is that a good way to say that?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. If you could almost, even the planet itself, if you were, say, a ET or a star family person that is not involved in this planet, and you were just stationed outside the planet, picture yourself on a spaceship looking at us, And saying, okay, well, here are the humans doing what they have to do to evolve. They have opposition. They're in this duality. They've chosen to be here at this particular time in history. But without the opposition, without the bad guys, as we say, there's no growth. So the bad guys came here to play their part this time, whereas you or I may have played the bad guy the last time. And basically we come here as children of the universe to play and to be the opposition, whether good or bad, and to help help one another grow spiritually. And that's how I look at it as the observer. If I pull myself out of the situation and look at it objectively, as you say, and without any emotions and say, oh, I see what's going on there, mm-hmm, without sending any, you know, real negative judgment or anything like that towards the situation, you just, it's almost a learning experience. And when you can get to that stage, that's truly unconditional love. And when people come your way and they're throwing negativity around and they're just frantic, you can try to help them and suggest certain things to them. But if they're not willing to hear it, then you need to discern for yourself when that moment is and say, okay, they will have to have another teacher come by. Maybe they'll say something in a different way that they'll get and understand. But for now, I can't help them any further, and I can't judge myself or that person for me not being able to help them or not, or for them not being able to get what I'm trying to help them with.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And you know, it's interesting listening to you. In our discourse, we've divided things a lot into little boxes. I call them the little boxes, and we've in the body composite or the human composite, we've often, or the one that works for me is we've divided the human experience into basically four boxes. We've got the spiritual box, the mental box, the emotional box, and the physical box. But what's interesting to me is listening to you, I'm seeing how they're all intertwined, you know, which is fascinating, because when we really look at health and how we can help ourselves, the lines are really blurry. You know?
Well, that's the thing. Everything in life at this time, because of duality and because of, I hate to bring up the negative part, but, you know, without realizing it's there, you can't have an understanding of what's been going on this planet for so long. For thousands of years, we had this opposition there. And through separation, and whether that be through separation within the military or even like you're saying, the human body, when you separate everything, just like in even medicine, like for a good example is the family medicine doctor used to do everything. Now we have a specialist for endocrinology, for ophthalmology, for, you know, just about anything. There's a specialist. So there's a generalist that may work, and a family medicine practitioner or physician may see a little bit of everything, but usually they become the gatekeepers, and they recognize what the problem is, and they send that person to a specialist because they know best, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And with that separation, very few people have the total picture or all the pieces to put the puzzle together to see what's really going on. So that compartmentalization is the word I was looking for. That's what's caused so much separation in every aspect of humanity, from the medical profession to financial to any other thing that you can even think of. It's compartmentalized, and it separates all the information, and therefore it's difficult to get a grasp on the totality of what's been going on and where we're at right now.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, well, the focus of the show is self-care and how it has divided our own experience of ourself, where we reflect that from our environment and internalize this idea, this need to separate. Well, I'm emotionally this, I'm mentally that, I'm spiritually this, I'm physically that. And I feel like that separation, pursuing those lines of separation in our own self-identity and our own self-awareness, I think is a big part of the challenge in how we can stay centered in this time. You know, if we can be stable in ourselves, that's huge all by itself. And how can we be stable in ourselves if we're always, you know, if we're not yet able to see ourselves as a whole? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, the human being, is the way I put it, it's multidimensional, multifaceted. And for people to understand it, in a third dimensional frame of reference, we break things down. And you were mentioning some of them. I like to talk about the mind body, the physical body, the spiritual body, the emotional body, and the energetic body. But you can't affect one without affecting all the rest. So if your spiritual body, or maybe a better way to put it is your energetic body, if something is out of alignment or out of balance, the rest of your being is out of balance as well. So say your throat chakra, I may have mentioned this the last time, but if your throat chakra is out of balance, that may mean that physically your thyroid might be out of balance. So if you recognize, say, oh, the thyroid is off, the TSH is it's through the roof, it's like 40 or 60. Wow, you have hypothyroidism. Now you need in mainstream medicine, you would require a medication called Synthroid to get that back into balance. Or energetically, you could release that blockage that's in your throat, or you could start speaking your truth. That's what it means to me whenever I see it. So there are a lot of people that are out there that don't take on their own responsibility. They would rather give their power up to the physician. And I offer at least whenever I'm seeing patients, what do you want to do? Do you want to do this a more natural approach, or would you like to go the traditional, what we consider traditional in today's medicine, with a medication? And to be honest with you, some people will go the natural route and some people will go the more traditional, what we consider today's medicine traditional. And I'll get a good example of this is a patient will come in to me and I'll say, oh, you have hyperlipidemia. So you need to take a medication, or you need to change your diet, exercise, lose a little bit of weight, and you probably won't need any medication. And I've had patients several times come into me and say, look, doc, I know I'm not going to do what you're telling me. Just give me the pill. So I can't judge them. I would like to see them do it a more natural route, but you know what? They know who they are and they know what they're going to do and what they're not going to do. So I can't judge them. I just have to allow them to be where they are with their consciousness and treat them accordingly, if that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. And I think that pretty much gives a great example of challenges that we will face as we intensify in this transition, because the choices that we all make basically is the accumulation of our lives. And it seems in tandem with the speeding up of things, and I would add the collapse of time, and the time matrix has allowed us this illusion of past, present, and future, which in a way has made us big liars. You know, it's given us this idea that we can be jerks today and then make up for it tomorrow, and or we can lie today and nobody's going to find out. But in the now, which is the only real time, everything is happening now. So whatever you're doing, whatever you do right now is going to come right back to you right now, which is a very traumatic transformation for people who are very invested in that need for the illusion, you know, of having the time idea. You know what I mean? I feel like that combined with the responsibility that we're being handed now to look at our world and look at our co-creation and also our magnificence and the power we have to create the world we all want. It's everything at once, right? The collapse of the time, the collapse of the illusion means that it's all right here, right now. So, it's a heavy load we have right now.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because it's such a big story and there's so many variables that play into who we are as a species and why we think what we think or believe what we believe, whether it be the influence of the media, our family, where we've grown up, whether it be in poverty or in a wealthy situation. And each one of those scenarios plays a part in what a person believes and their how they live their lives in many cases, their education and all that. And so right now, first of all, I truly believe that thought becomes reality. So what you believe in is what you attract to yourself. And that's what your intermediate reality is. And collectively, the more people that think one thing at one time, it becomes globally our reality. So that's influenced so much by the media. So you could imagine that, say, those who control the media right now put something up like, there's an asteroid that's coming in, it's going to destroy all of humanity, blah, 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 the doom and gloom. Well, the more people that focus their attention and their fear towards that, that becomes our reality. And that's how powerful of a co-creator that we are on this planet at this time. But people don't realize it. And we've been dumbed down through the chemtrails and the chemicals in our foods and water and all this other stuff in the media. And people don't believe that we're powerful individuals because we've been taught, whether it be in our religions or education, that we're not that powerful. We're just these little worker bees, and we need to toe the line and listen to the rules. And so, again, this is a big story. But I'm not saying those things in fear. I'm just trying to educate that, look, these things have gone on in the past, but that's what we're moving out of. And you just have to truly believe. And as you go within and you start to meditate, you tap into your higher self, and all of a sudden all this information that I'm talking about comes clear to you individually, and you're like, oh, wow. Or go out and do the research for yourself. Don't listen to one person. Go out and start researching the things that various people are out there saying and say, oh, well, that's a bunch of phooey, you know. And this guy, oh, wow, well, maybe I can get behind what he's saying right now because it really rings true to me. So thought becomes reality, belief, the belief system and who we are as a species and how powerful we are. That's really instrumental in making the changes that we're about to shift into. And because the truth has been hidden from us, that's all part of the game here, the end game, if you want to call it that. But, you know, the revealing, the unveiling, that's what we're going through right now. You're seeing it right now. People are like, well, there's nothing happened since December 21st. Well, you know, look at the Pope resigning. That hasn't happened in almost 600 years. I mean, the Queen, I think it's of the Netherlands, I believe, stepped down. Yeah, yes. After 33 years of service. Mm-hmm. And I mean, all of this stuff is happening all around us for those who have eyes to see it. So if you look at it in a positive way and say, wow, these things are actually happening, this is getting exciting because guess what? After the fall of this crap that we've all been through, the financial and the control of with the, you know, our mortgages and auto loans and all this percentage stuff and debt. Now that this goes away, we've pretty much hit bottom and we're pulling ourselves out of it into a more positive direction. So to me, it's exciting. Now to somebody that's in a fear-based reality, oh my gosh, what are we going to do without money? Oh, if the finances collapse, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? So you can see the polarity there. But if you're focused on a more positive side of things, again, you know, life doesn't happen to us. It happens from us. So if you're putting out more positive vibes and you're thinking positive about everything, and that's your intent and your direction of thought, then that's what you attract in your intermediate reality. And as you do that, other people see you as becoming the example, and they start to mimic what you're doing. And it's just a domino effect across the globe, energetically at least.
So let's talk about the process of going within and meditation and how you direct, how can you help us do that? And also, I think this is a good time to introduce your services because you're giving us a great deal of really helpful information. Please tell us a little bit about the services that you provide and again, interject how people can find you. Who might really be appreciating what you're offering and want to talk more with you. And then take us into some exploration of developing the inner relationship that it really is key to this whole thing.
Sure. People can reach me at a guiding light, LITE.com, and I can do my work with other individuals, whether it be over the phone, whether it be cell phone, landline, Skype, Google Hangouts, if they want personalized sessions, whether it be hypnotherapy, whether it be a created guided meditation, whether it be an angel card reading. life coaching. Some people just like to talk because they're going through something that no one else is going through, that, and they can't talk to their family because they think they're crazy, but they're having these experiences every day. And sometimes, you know, I had, just as an example, in my daily practice, I've had probably more people that would come in just to talk to me for that 15 minutes to pick my brain, to just throw back and forth ideas of what they're going through and have a better understanding of what is going on, whether it be the mind, body, spiritual, emotional, or energetic. Whatever they wanted to focus on, we could talk about. But actually, like you said earlier, it's all interconnected. So if I would talk about one thing, all the other parts, all the other aspects of their humanity would come to light. And it would come clear to them, oh, that's why this is going on. So the life coaching, I mean, it kind of helps give the person a direction because they're kind of in their own way sometimes. They don't see anything else other than what they've been in. And sometimes you need someone just to bounce these ideas off of and to talk with. So I offer that. And again, you know, the guided meditations, the hypnotherapy, I do energy healing, whether it be distance healing, or locally at my place, but I really haven't done too much locally. It's been more over, on the internet, and, I'm in a transition of myself right now. So I'll probably be traveling, and the various places I've been, and I've been doing, conferences, lectures at these conferences that, I've been asked to speak at. And various people have asked, will you come and speak in my town? And I never really had thought about it. And I thought, well, you know what? Recently I thought I would be willing to go if there would be individuals that would put together something like say 10, 20 people, depending how far away it is, I could come and talk. And I am doing a lecture. It's called The Truth Campaign, and it breaks it down from the, you know, it's difficult to really put all the variables into one lecture, but I tried to do a good job of putting it all together of all the things we're talking about here today with the opposition and the physicality of humanity, the universe, where we're going through religions and all these things. And basically just said, look, these are facts and this is how you relate to it in your daily life. So that's another thing that I would offer is that I would come to, various people, organizations, if they would set something up. And they can find me on A Guiding Light, and it's spelled LITE.com.
Where are you going to be presenting this truth campaign?
So far, I've done that lecture, and I haven't done it for a while, as I said. The last time I did it was in October for the Pennsylvania MUFON conference, and I'm located in New Mexico right now. So. Okay. They asked me to speak, and a lot of the people were coming up to me at the end and saying, boy, it's really nice. I haven't heard anybody speak about this on the East Coast before. Most of this information, you have to travel to go out west, you know, whether it be the New Mexico, Albuquerque, Santa Fe area, or even Sedona, Nevada, all these places. And I've actually traveled to myself for various lectures. And some of the people were commenting from New York, and I said, yeah, sure, I'll go. But it basically, as long as I can get it reimbursed, because right now, as I said, I'm in a transition myself. So I haven't worked in traditional medicine since December. So I'm trying to move everything towards this holistic approach, my daily life. And if I can do a lot of the things on the internet, I will. Just because of the technology enables you to do that nowadays, but I'm willing to travel also if there's
fantastic.
A need.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Sure. And then you mentioned about the meditation going within.
Yes.
This was really, really difficult for me because I'm a mindful person. You know, I had 100 things going on at one time whenever I started doing this. And, you know, it's important to tell people when you start this, and, you know, I don't want to put a suggestion out there that this is difficult for everybody, but for some people it is. And for me personally, it was. And I'll give you an example. When you start researching these things, you can find guided meditations, whether it be on YouTube. In fact, I have some free ones that are out there. You can get on YouTube and find them there, or other people have done them as well. And when you lay down or you sit up and you get into a comfortable position and you close your eyes and you just start to, you know, recognize your physical body and your five senses, trying to use those initially, but listen to the guided meditation. And what you'll find is your ego mind is going off into 100 different directions. Okay, well, I got to mow the grass, and then I got to wash the dishes, and then I got to do this. And it's so important to catch yourself. And you'll find that your ego, you'll catch yourself, and then all of a sudden you have to bring that attention back to that guided meditation and listen to what that person is saying to guide you through this. And it takes practice. It's like riding a bike or anything else. The more you do it, the easier it becomes. But it took me a good week to really get into a good meditation. And I was doing this every day, sometimes a couple times a day. And I got frustrated at first because my mind was so busy. Mm. And it took me a while, but I'm not saying everybody. Some people can do it the first time. They're in and they come out. And in the personal sessions I've done in the past for people, it's amazing. They're like, wow, that I feel like a million bucks, you know. Mm.
Well, so you work with the guided meditation to begin. Do you continue working with the guided meditation? And when you have a meditation experience and you say it's good, now how do you know it's good? What happened? You know, what happened? Did your mind, did you quiet down? Did you have some kind of rapture experience? Or, I mean, what makes a meditation good for you? How do you know you're progressing, and then how does that enhance your inner knowing of yourself somehow?
Well, this is individual. Each individual person is going to have their own experience with this. So I can talk about my own personal experience, and I've had several patients that have told me their experiences, but my own personal experience was I got to a point where I quieted the mind down, where I could tap in, and the best way I can say is you just kind of tune in or tap into a different frequency or a different energy, and a loving, peaceful, energetic rhythm comes over your physical body. You almost raise in a vibration, and you can feel your body if you're tuned into it, if you focus your attention towards it. And information starts streaming in that you never knew you had or could tap into. So when you come out of these meditations, say that you're having a struggle in your business and you just don't know what's going on or how to fix this problem. When you go in and you meditate, you balance the mental, the physical, spiritual, emotional, energetic, all that stuff that we talked about. You get into balance with your whole being, and all of a sudden you're streaming this energy. You come out, first of all, your physicality, you can feel like you've rested for like 12 hours, and you come out or you're like, oh God, I feel like I've had a good night's sleep. You feel good. Plus you're on a high. You have this in your heart. You have a high vibration in your heart. You feel like this loving energy. This is me personally now. Mm. And then on top of that, all of a sudden, some of the problems that you just didn't have answers to just come clear to you. You have this clarity about you that you're like, oh my gosh, why didn't I think of that before? And most of the time you haven't thought about it before because your mind is too busy. You can't focus to get to that point understanding or the answers to your problems. So that's how I know that I'm in a positive state of balance is the best way I'll put it. So go ahead.
I just wanted to inquire if you actually set an intention before you meditate to balance your mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional bodies. Is that an intention you set in your process?
Sometimes I'll guide myself through it. And so the more you do this, we started out, and I think it's important for people that are just starting this, is to do the guided meditation so they can see and actually be guided through the process. It's just like you being taught to do anything else, whether you're learning how to drive a car or ride a bike or anything else. But once you learn it, then you develop your own way. And a lot of people don't need a guided meditation after they've done this. So it's important to say, in fact, even some people, in fact, many people I've talked to never have never experienced a guided meditation. A meditation can be just as effective by going out into nature, taking your shoes off, and planting your feet into Mother Earth, and just closing your eyes, taking some deep breaths in, and just allowing your senses to just go. Bring your mind back every time, though, to the present moment of right now, right here and now. And that balances yourself. Just by virtue of you doing that, you balance your physicality, your humanity. So is it necessary to have the intent? You don't have to, but just by virtue of being in a meditation, those things just ultimately happen. But yes, I do it. In fact, I was just thinking earlier today, I was guiding myself through a meditation, and while I'm in this higher state of balance and frequency, I'm sending out love to humanity, to the earth. I'm a visual person, so I visualize these streams of energy coming down from the highest sources of creation through me, cleaning out all of my chakra centers and my meridian channels and balancing me so that I'm a channel or an antenna for love and light. And then I visualize it going out the bottom of my feet and down to the crystalline core of Mother Earth. And then as it radiates outward, it raises the vibration of the entire planet, the rock formations, the plants, the animals, humanity, and anything and everything. So that's kind of how I do it, because I'm just a visual person. But again, this is, each person will develop their own technique.
Will you give a word to the beginners and those bumps to help help us as we're pushing through? Because every time we're starting a new thing, it's always going to give and take a bit. It's going to push and pull us. And then, sure, have you been meditating a long time? And whatever the duration, have you noticed an accumulation effect at all?
Well, first, the bump. What I'd say about that is, what are you willing to give up? Because there's always a resistance, or you're taking too much on at one time, and we're meant to focus our intentions and our actions on particular things. But sometimes, because this is a busy world that we're in, sometimes we put too much on and we have that straw that broke the camel's back effect. Mm. And so I would say, what are you willing to give up? Many people contact me and they say, I'm so stressed out, and I'm doing this and that and the other thing. And I'm like, okay, well, ideally, what are you willing to give up? And if you're not willing to give anything up so you can close the door to one thing to open a door to another, then you're going to be stuck in that paradigm for a while sometimes. So the first thing I would say is, what are you willing to give up for your freedom, for your sanity, for your emotional freedom and your physicality? You know, we stress ourselves out, just we try to do too much too quick. And there's no rush. We're timeless beings. We live thousands or millions of lives, so there's no race to the finish line. We don't get it this lifetime, we'll get it the next lifetime. So, and then what was your other question?
The accumulation. So when you get we get over the bump eventually, and we, you know, become sort of dependent in a way on the meditation, what happens then?
It becomes easier and easier as you do it, definitely. And as far as an accumulation, I think as you do this, you balance your physical body with the mind, spirit, emotional, energetically. Everything balances out. And as you're doing this every day, as time goes on, at least our perceived time frame, you're, what we talked about earlier, we're raising our vibration as you do this. You're taking in more knowledge, more consciousness, more light, and you're raising in vibration. So is it cumulative in that aspect or that respect? I'd say yes, because if I was to look at myself 5 years ago to where I am today, I'm much further evolved, if that's how the word you want to use, than where I was back then. Mm-hmm. And I started meditating, and this I really didn't start this until maybe like true guided meditations, hypnotherapy, Reiki energy, all this kind of stuff around 2008, 2009. Mm-hmm. But prior to this, I've always been like a nature boy. I grew up on a farm in central Pennsylvania in the mountains, and well, there are little bumps now that I'm out west here. These are some big mountains out here, but back then, looked at them as these big mountains. It's hilarious, your perspective.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was definitely a nature boy, and I would get out and I would just close my eyes and just enjoy the smells and the sights, you know, after I opened my eyes again, and just watching water or nature all around me. So I was always into meditation, but didn't realize what it was back then. Mm. So to be more formal, I would say that I've only done the guided meditations and things like that in around 2008.
Hmm. And it's made a tremendous difference. And
absolutely. Because your perspective changes. Yeah. Your physicality changes because you're healthier. You don't attract dis-ease anymore because you hold your body at a higher energetic rate that the lower vibrational diseases, whether it be viruses, bacteria, they can't invade. They can't hang at such a high vibration. And it's the same with those entities that are all around us that they function at a lower vibration by doing things that you can discern as, such as murder or anything like that.
Mm.
That person doesn't even come into your field. They don't even recognize you anymore because they're looking down to control or manipulate somebody else in a lower vibration. When you're at these higher vibrational realms and stages, states of being, if you will, you can fall or you can trip and slip maybe a little bit and allow because you can feel it in your body when you do this. And that's what I was talking about earlier. When I was out of balance the last couple of days, I felt, it just didn't feel good because I haven't been there for a while. But I really think it's the energies that are coming through, externally coming through me to push out and push up for me to recognize and release.
Mm. And, Are you there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Will you talk a little bit about the quality of thought that changes? Because obviously there's still activity in our mental bodies, but you suggest that in our beginning and the need to, quiet one part and open to another part. Can you share a little bit about the difference in the vibrational shift? How would you recognize that you're feeling a higher vibrational activity flowing now through your mental body? Because
mm-hmm.
This is, I think, where a lot of us, the zoo in our head sometimes.
Yeah. Well, again, this is all interrelated. So if you paid attention to your physical body, it's telling you when you're feeling good. You have those days where you just feel so joyous or an event happened that you can think back in your life someday that either your best friend came in and you guys went and spent the day at the beach or you just went somewhere that it was the best time of your life and how euphoric you felt.
Mm.
That's how you can tell. When you can relate it to something like that and you pay attention to your physical body, that's how you can tell. It's like, my vibrations are high. I feel really good. In fact, you feel light. Like you could feel like as you're walking, you're floating or skipping across the ground. So that's me personally. So again, everybody's perception because of how they've been raised and educated and the other influences all around them, their reality or their perception of the reality may be a little different than mine or anybody else's. But it's important also to say that up until recently, we've only used like 8 to 10% of our brain. And, so as you do this, I really believe that you connect the left and the right brain together. And when you can hemisync, I guess the word would be, when you synchronize both hemispheres, all of a sudden you become more complete rather than using one side or the other. And I'm not saying one side or the other is worse than either side. I'm just saying when you connect the two and you can increase that percentage, humanity, the same with the DNA. I mean, we've only used, 3 to 5%? What's the rest for? We've been told it's junk, but really it's just something we don't understand. And if it was turned on 100%, what could we do as a human being? We have such a potential. And that's what I really think we're doing. It's exactly what we're doing. We're reclaiming our brain function and our physicality through the DNA, and that's helping us reach our highest potential.
Hmm. That's fantastic. So it's to approach the whole thing from the holistic approach that, to get a gauge relation, you know, say we want to gauge our consciousness in our mental body to not just think about, well, what I'm thinking, but to really move into our body politic and really feel what we're thinking and really feel the totality of all of our bodies in relationship to just that, a vibrational shift or an enhancement and light, an enlightenment of our energy. That's kind of fun how that worked out. I didn't see that coming, but you know what I mean. I mean, it's the approach of a holistic, healthy self-care module would be that, simply to begin working with the interconnection of all of it.
Mm-hmm. And another thing that happens is the synchronizations that happen around you. So we talk about reality, but when things just start to just unfold, like bam, bam, this person comes into your life, oh God, I'm broke, how am I going to pay my bills? And all of a sudden, a check comes in the mail for a refund of your health care that you overpaid. Mm. And you're like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I needed, that exact amount for this particular day to pay this bill. When things like that start to happen and people come into your life and you accept it and you don't slam the door in their face because of prior beliefs, and you start to accept what the universe has. I mean, this is another thing that's it's like an equal exchange. As you give, you have to be willing to receive as well. And some of us have a hang up on one or both of those. Mm-hmm. So if you're in service to others, but you can equally accept these various gifts for yourself, there's a steady flow. And to even talk about this and to get behind it and understand what I'm saying, the vibration that you have to hold is a higher vibration, because words carry a vibration. And you can tell when someone uses what most people consider a curse word, because it's not just the language, it's that negativity, that lower vibration that comes towards you and you can feel it hit your body. Mm. If you were to videotape someone and you drop the F-bomb towards them and you point to them, you're actually sending energy at a negative way towards them, and you can watch their physicality just cringe and almost cover up. So everything
Absolutely.
Is energy. Anything and everything that you can conceive of, and then some, it's all energetic. But because we are in human form, we have a language that we have to communicate all these concepts and all this information and all these variables. It's difficult to kind of bring it all to the table and put it all together in a cohesive way so people can understand the experience. So I'm having a difficult time bringing it all together because there's so much information just flowing through me right now.
I think you're doing awesome, frankly.
Oh, thank you.
I think you're doing awesome. Yeah, no, I'm hitting you with some big questions. I'm not letting you rest over there. I think you're doing great. And we don't have pressure at the end of our hour. We have 5 minutes on this hour, and we don't have to jump at 5 minutes. So I want to offer you or ask you if you'd like to if we have time to do a brief guided meditation, and if that works in your schedule, or should we just wrap it up at this point?
No. The only thing I would ask is, are you saying we have 5 minutes for me to do that, or could I go, like, I haven't extended like 5 or 10 minutes, like we have maybe 15 minutes to do this?
We have plenty of time. We have a whole half hour or more if we want it at the other end. We don't have any pressure to jump off the line today.
Okay,
so
great.
We can go. We can be as relaxed as we can be. And I wanted to give you this space because we had agreed for an hour. If you got to go for an hour, that's great. And if you want to if you're with us, you feel like doing a little bit more, that's great too. But I just wanted to give you that so we could have a proper close if this was the end.
Yeah, no, if you're open for a guided meditation, I can do one right now. And I think what would be nice is, because we just went through this spring equinox, those who are listening to this call right now in the moment, or those in the future, it doesn't matter. We're all connecting at one place at one time in the present moment of now. We see time in a linear way. Like if somebody listens to this in a month from now, oh, well, I wasn't part of that collective. When in fact, this is outside of space and time in the higher dimensions. At least that's how you can view it. So it's non-linear, there's no time involved in it. So,
absolutely. So give me an idea of of how much time you'd like to spend with us. So.
Maybe 10 minutes. And then after that, if you have questions, if whatever, I have time to whatever you want to do.
Okay, fantastic. So we'll do the guided meditation and then we'll just let a natural close do its thing.
Okay, great.
Fantastic.
All right, so those who are listening in, close your eyes. And this just, the reason why we do we try to limit the stimulus and visual acuity and seeing things, it kind of takes you away from the present moment and the guided meditation. So just close your eyes. Take some deep breaths in through the nose and out the mouth. Again, through the nose and out the mouth. This helps your brain focus your attention towards one thing at one moment. So continue these deep breaths in, and as you're visualizing and imagining that as you're taking the deep breaths in, you're taking in this energy that's streaming through from the high sources of creation. So as this energy is streaming through, you can actually visualize and imagine it as a column of light coming through the crown of the top of your head. And as I go through this, you continue to take these deep breaths in through the nose and out the mouth. This energy is just streaming all around you as well as going straight through your central core. And as you're breathing it in, you can visualize and imagine that your DNA is changing and turning up from that 3 to 5% to whatever your physical body can handle at this particular moment of now. Allow yourself to visualize and imagine that these streams of energy from the high source of creation are coming through the crown. And as we talked about the energetic bodies, I'll simply go through each one, the main ones that most people know about, although we have many more than the 7 main chakras. Just visualize and imagine, though, that we're coming through that crown chakra, opening up that chakra so that it spins in its perfection. And as it's coming down through the physicalness of the brain, it's pushing out any negativity, any blockages, or any attachments. Allow this energy to stream free-flowing down through the brain and opening up that pineal gland and therefore your third eye chakra. Again, so that your chakra centers can all harmonize and synchronize and communicate harmoniously with one another. Allow the energies from these higher sources of creation to stream down through the eyes, ears, nose, mouth, penetrating every organ, every tissue, and every cell of your being. Allow this energy of love and light to flow through you, over you, all around you. And if you pay attention to your physicalness, you can actually feel your vibration raising because this love of light is at a higher octave than what your physicality is at this moment of now. Allow the energies to continue down into the throat chakra, opening up that throat chakra so that you can speak your truth. And as the energy flows freely down over the arms, out your fingertips, you can visualize and imagine that your physicalness is becoming a glowing light of love. Allow the energies to flow freely down into the heart chakra, opening up that heart chakra so they can communicate with all the other chakra centers of the body, penetrating the heart tissue and the lungs, then descending downward into the solar plexus region, opening up that solar plexus chakra, penetrating your skin and your arteries and veins and all your organs, whether it be the liver, the spleen, the bladder, the gallbladder, the stomach. And as it's penetrating in this area, if there's any areas of concern individually that you need to work on, focus this energy right in that area. And as this love vibration engulfs and encompasses that particular region of your physicality, you can feel that energetic wave of energy relaxing, pushing out any negativity, any blockages, or any attachments in that area. Now allow this energy to continue downward. Into the sacral region and all the male or female parts, opening up that sacral chakra, then down into the root chakra, opening up all your chakra centers so they're all communicating harmoniously with one another. Allow these energies of love and light to continue down your thighs, over your knees, down your legs, and down into Mother Earth. And now that you're a clear and clean channel of love and light, allow yourself to send these streams of energy from the highest sources of creation down into Mother Earth, down into her crystalline core. You can feel her sending her love back up through these channels of love and light, through your physicality, and as her energies ascend up and up your legs, your abdomen, up into your heart center, you can feel that love that she has for you as one of her children. While you're in this particular moment of the now, you're balancing all aspects of your humanness. Allow yourself to send energy and love of light to all the loved ones that are around you in unconditional love. Having the intent of whatever is in their greatest good, not having a specific intent in mind for this energy for those particular people you're thinking of, but whatever is in their greatest good right now. Because you may not know exactly what is in their greatest good. This is you becoming the observer and sending unconditional love and compassion without judgment. And now you turn your attention towards yourself, becoming the observer of yourself, seeing yourself as your Creator would see you, in total perfection, loving yourself unconditionally in your perfection. Allow yourself to stream these energies down into Mother Earth, and then from Mother Earth out through all her layers, to the rock formation, to the plant kingdom and the trees, to the animal kingdom, and to all of humanity across the globe, into all dimensions, into the past, present, and the future, into all the other planets within this solar system, and in connecting as humanity, we are so powerful of creators and co-creators of this thing called love and light. We send out all this energy to the universe to ease the transition during these times, transmuting and transcending any lower vibratory frequency within our physical fields personally and collectively. And as above, so below. As we do this for ourselves, we raise our vibration and we affect all of those around us. And not just ourselves, our solar system and all the other solar systems and everything within this universe and beyond. Now take a moment and pay attention to all of your senses that you're aware of, and then your sixth sense. How is your physical body feeling right now? Do you feel that love vibration all around you? How does your heart feel? Are you having any emotions that you're bringing up at this time, that you're feeling at this time? Are there any new insights that you're mental mind is bringing to the forefront for you to see that you couldn't see before. How does your energetic body feel with all your chakras being aligned and in balance? Now, allow yourself to remember this particular moment of now so that in the future, when you want to come back to this particular place and space of total harmony and balance, that you can do it at any time, just through quieting the mind and getting yourself out into nature or into a quiet place or through a guided meditation. Remember that any time that you're out of balance in any aspect of yourself, that you can come back to this place or space in the present moment of now to rebalance yourself so that you can continue on with your mission. Now allow yourself to be in total gratitude for your Creator, for all beings of love and light, whether it be humanity or your star family, or whether you have angels or archangels or masters that you call upon. Thank anybody and everybody that is sending their love and light, and send them your love of light. Again, being in total gratitude. Sending Mother Earth gratitude for taking care of you all these years. Supplying you with a home and shelter and food and water and all the necessities of life. And remember to look towards a positive future and making the positive changes that you've come here to make. And contribute your love and light or your gifts to humanity, to the earth, to make that change in this transition that we're all here to do at this particular moment of now. Now, start to bring your energies back from Mother Earth. And allow yourself to bring the energetic flow from the highest sources of creation down into your crown. And as all the energies contract down into your physicalness from Mother Earth and from Father Sky, culminating in the heart region, you can actually see these columns of light retracting, ascending, descending into the heart region. Allow yourself to take a few deep breaths in through the nose and out of your mouth, becoming aware of your physicality, you're wiggling your fingers or your toes, moving your physical body around, taking some more deep breaths in through the nose and out the mouth, being in total gratitude and love of light. Pulling your energies back all the way now and just into your heart, opening your eyes now, feeling wide awake, feeling refreshed, revitalized, and better than before, in total gratitude. And when you're ready, just come out when it's convenient for you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I needed that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Phew. I haven't worked much with the guided meditations. So that was really a treat. That was really nice, and it really did help to have your voice to come back to, and to allow that surrender, that level of surrender. That's why I've always been a little challenged with the guided meditation, because I'm very protective of my mind. I don't let my mind go places. Mm-hmm. If I can avoid it, you know, and there's a lot of reason to be protective of, you know, where you sure. send your mind. And, mm-hmm. But with you, I have enough of a rapport that I felt like I could just let myself follow your lead. And that was very nice to surrender that and to really be there with that whole process. I really felt it. And I also would really recommend to the listeners to check out some of your meditations on YouTube. They're very nice. You have such a nice voice for that. And thank you.
Thank you for the kind words. And trust is a big thing. And discernment is another thing we didn't really get into, but you have to discern for yourself. And again, this, you pay attention to what you're listening to, how, if you can believe in what the particular person is saying, and how your physical body reacts to what they're saying. Because when they say you have a gut feeling about something, whether good or bad, you feel it in your physicalness whenever somebody's speaking. If they're speaking your truth, or you're at the same vibratory frequency they are, and you're like, oh wow, I really like what they're saying, I can trust what they're saying. And, you know, you really should be able to trust in yourself. And I'm not suggesting giving your power away to any yogi or anybody like that. I'm just, you know, these guided meditations, they're guided. They're not leading you kind of like a horse to water with a leash. They're just guided. They help you go wherever you want to go. And you can use your discernment of who is at a higher vibration that you can trust. And through doing this, through practice, again, you can become more trustworthy of yourself and therefore other people.
Well, thank you so much. And we could go on and on. There's so much to self-care. There is so much. And we've covered a lot. So I think that this is a really, it's a nice place to close on a quiet note. So I think it feels appropriate to put it out to you. Were there other things that you wanted to offer in close before we wrap it up here?
You know what? We're all on the same ship. So no matter how far along, as I said before, we all have these symptoms. And depending on how we recognize them and deal with them, it can be an easier transition or a more difficult. If you're in a resistant frame of mind, if you're attracting more negative things because you're doing more things or you're thinking more things that are negative, then that's what you're going to attract to yourself, and it's going to cause more havoc in your life. So energetically speaking, I think it's important to, and we talked about all aspects of humanity, so energetically speaking, you can meditate every day and balance your physicality. And when you do that, you raise your vibration. If you're drinking lots of plenty of fresh water, spring water if possible, that has a higher vibration. And rather than the processed things like soda and things like that, whether we're, and same with processed foods, if you eat fresh fruits and vegetables, it has a higher vibration. So the more more self-care you can do holistically in every part of your, every aspect of yourself, the higher your vibration is and the better you feel and the easier the transition. So if you're in an emotional state and it's a negative one, think of that time that was the most positive in your life, and then you change that, your focus on how bad you feel at that moment to how good you felt in another one, and take on that better feeling, and that raises your vibration as well. So really, at the highest level, everything is energetic. We view it in our five senses and make it more physical, but ultimately, everything is energy and at a higher vibration. So in order to ease your transition or even your day-to-day life, how do you bring more synchronistic things into your life, a more loving partner, you look at what you've accomplished in the past, and you say, what am I willing to give up to open some new doors to some better things? And you do everything else you can to raise in a higher vibratory frequency, and life becomes miraculous at that point. So that's what I'd like to end on.
Well, thank you very much. That's some very, very good advice. Very good, very sound tips, very grounded, you know. Especially the part about what are you willing to give up, you know. We really are faced with making choices at this time. So I really appreciate you. You're very clear about that. And, oh, bless
you. I've had to
do
it myself, so I know I can't just speak this and preach it without physically. And a lot of the things I offer, I don't offer it just because I saw someone else do it. I actually went to, when I heard about Reiki energy, I went to them because I wanted to know, is this real? Is this the real deal, or is this woo-woo stuff? And because of my experience, and I physically experienced it, and so did my my buddy who happens to be an MD, and he was a skeptic from the get-go. And I mean, that experience, that's a whole show in it of itself. But again, you know, I've personally experienced all the things that we've talked about today, and I'm going through them too. So I'm not saying that I'm some kind of a saint or, you know, some guru that has transcended everything and I'm perfect in this high. I know what I have to do, and I'm working on it, and it's a continuous process. If there's somebody on this planet that says that I have transcended and I'm, you know, I'm done, that person, you better take another look at, because I don't think we're ever done. I mean, that's what the universe is about, constantly evolving and growing. And, you know, and sometimes the student becomes the teacher. And that has happened to me in the past, and vice versa. So,
absolutely. I think in reality, if you're done, then you're not here, okay?
Why are you here?
Exactly. And we're all teachers. Everybody's a teacher, and everybody's a student. How could it be any other way? There's so much to learn and so much to explore and so much to know. And it's like that real plain saying or where it goes something like, the more I know, the less I know. You just don't, the more you learn, the more you realize there is to learn. It's just like an infinite thing. So, hey, why not be a student for life, you know?
Well, whether you want to or not, I think you are, so.
Well, tell us again how to find you.
Well, for those who want to email me, my email address is aguidinglight, L-I-T-E, @gmail.com. Or you could find me on my website at aguidinglight.com, which is spelled L-I-T-E as well.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us. Phew.
Thank you. That was fun. I really enjoyed it. And again, thank you for having me back. And hopefully we help some people, because that's my mission, is to do what I can to help individuals through this as well as I help myself.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you. It's all well, for the learning. And yes, if it helped one person, it was worth it. It was fun for me too. I feel a lot better. That was fun. That was really right on the money. So thank you so much. And so thank you to the listeners too for joining us in this experience. And thank you to all the good people in the BBS radio. Thank you so much for making this possible. And thank you to all my friends, our friends in high places who've joined us for this broadcast, until the ancestors that walked before us and brought us this golden opportunity to make the world a better place. And I am Jamil Graham, your host of the Alchemy of Light broadcast. And the Alchemy of Light broadcast has been pumping in here for the last 2 years and a little bit more. I am going to be taking a little pause in production for the month of April and offering you some of my best of archives while I regroup. We're talking about what you're going to let go. I've had to make some decisions in the last few weeks about places where I knew I needed to step back, and places where I knew I could do better. You know, I just realized there's so many things that I was getting involved in, and I realized that the things that were most important were getting neglected, which is an old pattern that I really am ready to break now, so I have made some decisions to give myself some space to do that. So in the month of April, I will be stepping back just for, you know, a couple of shows to regroup with myself and really put online the better ideas that I know I can manifest. So I will be treating you guys to some of my best ofs in the next couple of shows. And you can learn more about the updates at the alchemyoflight.org blog. And again, thank you all so much for tuning in. We will see you soon. And until then, take good care of yourselves and take good care of each other. Bye-bye.